We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns. It is your Thursday podcast here on May 2nd. I welcome you guys in. We have a couple things recently that we have been playing. So a couple episodes ago, we had Jared Mueller stop through, and then we had yesterday's show we replayed. I thought a lot of really good stuff came out during a Q&A that we had on Monday on Twitch. So I wanted to play that on the podcast. Some stuff going on here, so at the house, so it made it a little easier to get an episode up with some fresh content for you guys. Today, it's just me, and then we are going to get with Doug LaMaurice after the break. We're going to talk with him about Mike Hall and go through sort of the collective career of Mike at Ohio State and everything surrounding him. Doug's insights, having covered the Ohio State program closely over the years, and then, you know, this is, again, an introduction to what we like to do after the draft every year. We get with local beat writers, obviously, a little easier to get with Ohio State beat writers than other places. Have a Michigan one lined up for Zach Zenter, and then we'll push these out as we get them, but they're a little tricky to line up interviews and times and all of that stuff. So I usually release like three at a time, but we're just going to do kind of one at a time or two at a time based on how many we talk to and where the content schedule sort of lines up. So we will get some great stuff from Doug on Mike Hall, and that'll come a little bit later. The thing I want to talk about at the start is a couple of transactional pieces of news that have happened since I've talked to you guys. The Browns picked up the $13.5 million, just under $13.5 million. Greg Newsome, fifth-year option. He gets that not because he's made a Pro Bowl, but there's a playing time bonus that ultimately gets him paid according to how much he's played for the Browns so far, and that fits, and that's fair, right? He's played 700 snaps his rookie year, 907 snaps in 22, and then right about 800 snaps in 2023, including the playoff game. So he deserves, obviously, starter fifth-year option money, which escalates a little bit for him up to the 13 and a quarter range for him. So I think this was expected. Most of us believed it would happen. I don't believe for a second the Browns were not listening on trades for Greg Newsome. I believe they were dangling him out there, opportunity for someone to come get a cheap year before the fifth-year option year for them to capitalize on that. Nobody brought a serious enough offer to them, and they didn't make a move. I heard from too many people that they were fielding calls, opening up different pathways of conversations to see if there was a trade out there. And I just, like Andrew Berry said in his press conference, he was not going to pass Greg Newsome along for cheap. Like, there is still a belief within the organization that he has a really important role here. Again, you were talking about dealing from a position of strength. That's why you thought maybe corner could be moved, right? So if you're moving from a position of strength, you could find another element of strength there or another quality pick. You're always entertaining that. But having Newsome is far from a problem, right? I think, again, we get a little overshadowed by some of the antics every now and again. But for the most part, a really good 2023 season. He had three, I think, really rough coverage games. Actually, four, I would say. Indianapolis, he was not very good in that one. He wasn't very good in Denver. Sort of borderline against the Chargers on the road, and then he really struggled in the wild card game. So you're talking about three, maybe four, otherwise really good. The thing about Greg, though, is the tackling. I think that's the biggest issue for him over the course of this last 2 years run. When you're playing slot, you have to be a willing tackler, not just missing tackles, which he missed 11, but a willing tackler to fit, be in your gap, hold your assignment, and again, be willing to be physical. And that's just an area that he's not very good at. Does that ultimately mean that he gets to be pushed outside a bit more? I don't know. He played 102 slot snaps his rookie year, 374, obviously in a more defined role in 22. But if I told you he played 378, he actually played more outside snaps in 22, you'd probably be surprised. It tilted more to the slot as the Browns were very defined on their cornerback roles this past year and the man coverage the way they preferred to play it, and then some of their cover three and invert cover two stuff. It was pretty much defined for him, and they dealt with less injuries. Denzel Ward was out a little bit, but he wasn't out as much as maybe he's accustomed to missing in some other years. So he played 412 snaps in the slot, 286 at corner. But the Browns are bringing in Cam Mitchell last year, and then this year Miles Harden, guys who can play in the slot. So the pressure's there. Ultimately, the Browns are deep here. I mean, that's a great sort of problem to have, but you do need to find justification for using these guys. You know, you could probably play a few more dime sets instead of just nickel sets. We'll see what creativity, you know, they bring out this year, but they have three, again, starting quality outside corners, and Newsom is sort of masquerading inside, but he's capable enough, and this is probably one of the few nickel roles that he can really handle because he's not always asked to be in the run fit, and it's very man-to-man heavy, which means he gets to think less and just cover more, which isn't a sort of rocket science thing the way maybe match coverage is, and that's why I think the Browns drop off some when they go to zone coverage, but neither here nor there. I think Newsom being back again, something we should have expected, but it doesn't mean that the people talking about it, ourselves included on this show, that he was being dangled out there and being talked about in trade talks isn't true, because I definitely think it was, and Andrew Berry certainly confirmed it in a very backhanded kind of way when he had the time spent with the media before the draft and kind of reiterating that they were not going to trade him for very, very little, right? They wanted some kind of return, and it just didn't come to fruition. Could it come to fruition still? Right? Maybe. We saw Za'Darius Smith get traded into the summer. There are guys who get traded into the summer every year. If Greg Newsom demands a trade, there's a little bit of controversy around that last year. You know, we'll see. I mean, he might ultimately want, you know, that opportunity to get back outside and make a bigger contract and have a chance at a meaningful second contract, because that can be a little bit, I mean, the difference between getting that opportunity and proving you're worth a second contract can be a very fine line. And if he wants to go do that somewhere else, he could push the pedal on that a little bit. Doesn't mean the Browns do it, but it is something that could possibly happen for the betterment if his agent gets in his ear about that real opportunity over the course of 2 years to prove that he's worth a meaningful second contract, right? So Newsom's here. We expect him to be here until he's not here. There could be, again, some team looking over the summer, looking at their guys in OTA's mini camp and feel they need to make a move. But for now, we're left to presume way more certainty in that presumption than it was before free agency and all of that a trade could possibly happen. All right. Next move is Brian Allen, the center, which is, again, a really big surprise. I think most people thought was Zenter's acquisition and the UDFAs that they were done adding on the offensive line. But it's abundantly clear here that the Browns are determined to not get in the same injury situation they were last year. They're really trying to make sure that the depth is as well, turned over, researched, and they're going to have some competition going on. When they haven't had a ton of that competition, guys fighting for the roster in those interior spots for the last few years, it's been a lot of defined roles, Whipler, Harris, Michael Dunn, a lot more names now. That's all I'm saying, a lot more names now. So they bring in Brian Allen, and obviously it's important to understand signing free agents. There's been an uptick on those free agents happening again because they have no bearing on compensation picks now, so teams can sign them without worrying about canceling out compensation pick stuff for the next draft at this point. So it's like, again, while you'll see more trickling of player signings in the this week, really, I've seen them trickling in. They're not big names, so maybe you haven't noticed them, but they are happening across the league. But back to Brian Allen, you know, you're talking about a guy who's been a part of the Rams organization for a full-on 5 years, drafted in the fourth round, 111th selection in 2018, and stuck with the Rams to his rookie contract another year. So a player they liked. The problem with Brian Allen coming out of Michigan State, again, a name that I think a lot of people knew around that 2018 draft cycle is the injuries, man. Like, tracing it back for him, it's really tough looking at all of the things that he's dealt with. So 2019, he suffered an ACL and MCL and meniscus tear against the Steelers. Missed, that was kind of late in the year. So not late, but middle of the year, missed the final seven games. And then all of 2020 rehabbing back to full strength. So he missed seven games and then rehabbed all of it because of so many things being torn in that knee. Then in 2021, he played with a partially torn UCL in the right elbow, suffered that injury in the it was a snapping arm, which made everything obviously more challenging for him. And then he missed, but he only missed one game and showed some toughness and some resolve. And Sean McVay loved him. They really thought he was an integral part of their situation up front. Missed one game in the run to the Super Bowl, so he obviously played in all of those very meaningful games. And, you know, he's the past year, sorry, in 2022, he dealt with, like, knee, thumb injuries, missed eight total games that year. And then last year, he just kind of has fallen off the radar for them. The most snaps he had was that 2021 season where he put together 1,181 snaps and a pretty good set of metrics on his blocking. You know, we don't trust that to the fullest extent here, but again, the metrics were decent. As again, 2018, 2019, kind of getting his feet wet, played 37 snaps as a rookie, 563 in 2019 as a starter before leaving, you know, with that torn up knee, missed all of 2020. Then 21 was the great season, 22 again, battling injuries, and then 23 only played 34 snaps. So this is a young man, still young, fighting 28 and a half, fighting for his NFL life, and the Browns give him an opportunity. And I don't know if you want to make this about Luke Whipler or any of the interior options. I'm not going to do that. Signing Brian Allen doesn't mean that Whipler's done or something. There's going to be a battle there. They're going to maybe try to get him onto the practice squad if he's around the organization all summer, and he's a great option for them in the interior O-line if they can't, you know, figure out a way to get him on the roster, whatever. I mean, this is the thing you're doing. You're constantly bringing in guys like this who have maybe cast off other places and just seeing what's there. And if they fit your organization, they fit your scheme. And obviously this is a player that Andy Dickerson was around in his time spent out in LA, early part of Brian Allen's career. So there's probably a connection to him from the new offensive line coach. Just something to keep in mind. Okay. So a lot of stuff. Those are two big pieces of information, not relatively quiet otherwise, but a lot of stuff coming up with Doug, which I think, again, is some really good information, thoughts, and analysis of Mike Hull. And I really love doing these every year. And like I said, you'll get more of them in the coming weeks. So excited to keep doing it. But let's not waste any more time. We have a quick set of ads from our sponsors, and then we'll get over to our time with Doug LeMaurice of the Kings of the North podcast, where he's breaking down everything Ohio State football, him and Bill Landis, and well worth your time if you're a crossover between the Browns and the Buckeyes. Doug's as good as they come, so we appreciate his time. Let's get over to that interview right now. The OBR is proudly sponsored by Game Time Ticket App. When you're buying those tickets and it's the last minute, you don't have to be stressed out. You can go to gametime.co or use the Game Time app to make those last minute ticket decisions in the best possible way, with a fast and easy way to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. The app does a fantastic job of finding opportunities near you for events, both, like I said, sports and otherwise. We have a comedy show that we found recently with the best price that we could possibly find using Game Time. Great seats. You can scout out the seats, have a great experience, and get the image of those seats all within the app or online, whatever you would like to do. So Game Time is the fast and easy place for those last-minute ticket deals. So take advantage, snag your tickets with Game Time, and avoid the stress. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use the promo code OBR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create that account, use the promo code OBR, get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a lowly podcaster like me, the world is starting to understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. The NFL has been placing a larger emphasis in this area, especially that mental well-being. The Browns are leading the charge in this as well, trying to get their players to the right physical and mental peak every day. And that's what Unified Healing System is trying to do, and they're a proud sponsor of the OBR Film Breakdown. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE Systems. If you haven't heard of EE Systems yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're in Cleveland or Columbus like me, or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/OBR. Again, that's unified with a YD, unifiedhealing.com/OBR, to learn more and find a center near you. A reminder, no material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. Well, Doug, it looks like the Browns are just going to draft an Ohio State guy more frequently, so maybe we get a chance to yuck it up a little bit more. They go Mike Hall here, man, which I'm curious, before we talk about him as he comes up, you know, through the draft process and all that, and we trace it back, I just want to know, were you high on him? Did you, because Tyleek stays for a year and a lot of the guys stay, he goes, was that expected, unexpected? Was there like during the year, Mike is a guy that's going to go, or they're not going to be able to keep him? Or was that a bit of a surprise?
Almost everybody else stayed. Right. Marvin Harrison Jr. went, but so many other guys stayed. Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, Denzel Burke, Tyleek Williams, as you mentioned. Obviously, everybody knew Marvin Harrison Jr. was going. I actually think most of us thought more Ohio State guys would go.
Right.
And I do think people have to remember, you know, like part of what is bringing a lot of these guys back to Ohio State is failure. They don't want to leave having lost to Michigan three straight times. No pairs of gold pants. No Big Ten championships, no national championships. I think most people know the story. Mike had a son, and he talked about that, and that clearly affected his decision, which is just, you know, everybody's lives are different. So I would say, though, more like Mike's decision was almost more what we expected. The surprise was, oh, wait, there's 8-9 other NFL guys, most of them on this Ohio State defense, that didn't go.
So let's trace it back then. So he doesn't, he, you know, he's a bit of the outlier you talk about. It's a very obvious reason why he would go. Let's trace it back to when he arrives at Ohio State. Those two, that, I mean, if I recall, you know, we're both here in Columbus. I don't get to pay attention as much as I'd like, but if I recall, the 20 and 21 classes were pretty dang stellar. And he's involved in the 21 group, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So who's he come in with? Like, he comes in with Tyleek and some others. And I think he was a, you know, he was pretty national guy at that point, right?
Yeah, I think Ohio State was in on him early, and then once you kind of knew he was going to be a Buckeye, then his recruiting ranking kept growing. And so I do think, you know, this happens a lot in recruiting, Jake. If you go early and you don't have the drama at the end, you can be forgotten a little bit. And especially if maybe when you commit, I don't know where Mike was, but if you're in the 200s, 300s, 400s as a player, by the end, he's a borderline top 50 national prospect in any position. So I do think he was a little underrated because, you know, I do think you take Ohio guys for granted at Ohio State. You know, from the Ohio State perspective, it's like, well, if there's a good guy in Ohio, they better get him.
Right.
And, you know, especially like Cleveland area kid. So I do think he was one of those guys that felt like he came in underrated. And then when you get to signing day, we're all saying like, hey, this guy's a great player. Don't forget about this guy. Because it's in a group where they got Emeka Ebuka, who's the number one recruit in the country at receiver. They got JT Tuimoloau late. They got Jack Sawyer, who was a five-star defensive lineman, also from Ohio. So it was easy for Mike to get forgotten a little bit. But I think everybody knew that there was a lot there. And then it was a little weird. He played 35 snaps his freshman year.
Yeah, talk about that. Who's out in front of him? Who's taking those snaps his freshman year? And, you know, not every guy's going to hit the – you can be the number two kid in Ohio and you get to Ohio State and it's just a completely different ballgame. Did he have to transform the body? Was he just not there maybe coming from Streetsboro where everything's easy, a little easier for him? Like, is that the idea here? Was he good enough and he was just buried, or was he just not ready from what you understood?
I think growing into it, I think maybe a guy who did, you know, so often guys on both sides of the line need to hit training table, need to hit the weight room. Again, because I think everyone knew that this is a guy who's potentially explosive, who's a pass rusher, that kind of thing. You kind of wanted to see more. You just like not, it's not like his fault. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to see this guy. The one, a little bit of a weird thing was Tyleek Williams. Again, there's a lot of, it's reasonable to talk about them in tandem because they were two good defensive tackles at Ohio State. Tyleek played in garbage time as a freshman. I think maybe played 200 snaps, 190 snaps total. But Tyleek wound up on a bunch of freshman All-American teams just because sometimes you're scraping around for like, well, who's a defensive tackle who played at all? Right. And he had like a good PFF number.
He did. I'm looking at it now, right?
Because it was garbage time. And so then a lot of people were like super excited for Tyleek Williams entering his sophomore year. And I was very much on like, I was not down on Tyleek, but I was like, small sample size, garbage time, like, I don't know. Actually, like, Mike Hall is the guy that you maybe need to keep your eye on. Again, a little bit forgotten just because he played 35 snaps as a freshman, but it wasn't his fault. But again, he just, for as highly rated and as explosive as he was, he always was a little bit, I think, in the shadows at Ohio State.
I can see that. I mean, that again, that freshman year, you're talking Haskell Garrett, you know, Teron Vincent, a lot of those uppers were taking them. So 22 and 23 starts to see the field in 22. Let's talk about that one, obviously, a little bit here. He starts to kind of have a little bit of a breakout, like you mentioned. It seems like between Tyleek and Michael, they're playing similar 250 numbers. Teron Vincent still there eating into the snap numbers. Ty Hamilton, too, starts to take off. What's it like covering Mike? I mean, again, like what kind of Is he a good you interview as well as anybody does? Is he a good interview? Is he a funny guy? Like, what are Browns fans getting there?
Yeah, no, I think he'll be a favorite. I think like a good funny guy, like gets it, you know, like is self-effacing a little bit. Like I think there's a real chance, maybe a comparison like to DeJuan Jones on the as an offensive lineman and a Cleveland Brown of like just like a big guy who's kind of like a fun guy to be around. So. Again, like sophomore year with Mike Hall, Tyleek, then when he got to play, was like a little bit of like, okay, now he's playing more. Tyleek Williams always had a little bit of like, is he in the shape he needs to be in? And Mike Hall was like, why isn't Mike Hall playing more? It was one of the major storylines of the defense in 2022. It was like, why doesn't he play more? He played 266 snaps, but he was so impactful when he was in there. He was, you know, as good as anybody getting after the quarterback when he did play.
Yeah.
He made plays. And there, you know, again, it was a little bit the defensive line rotation at Ohio State is constantly a story. Like, why are they playing this many guys? Then last year, they used to not play guys enough. Then last year, they sort of overplayed their main guys. It's never sort of normal. And that was part of Mike Hall's story. So in the end, you know, everybody saw it with Mike Hall as a sophomore. We registered for freshman year, second year in the program in 2022, but you just wanted to see it more because it felt like, why isn't this guy playing 450 snaps instead of 260? I do think maybe stopping the run, they want a little bit of a bigger guy taking up space on first and second down, so put Mike in on third down, but I thought he should have played more.
That's obviously what I want to hear, is that you think he should have played more, because I find it curious that he's playing inside too, Doug. Like, to me, you look at his body type and it screams to me a three tech, a guy that I want one-on-one with guards as often as possible, not eating double teams in pass situations or run situations, right? So I found, again, that a little interesting. I'm not saying anybody would ever go up to Larry Johnson and be like, hey, why are you playing Mike Hall as a shade? What are you doing? It's like, that's a bit of a tricky question to throw at a guy with as much power as Larry Johnson. But that's the profile, right? The profile is there's some unbelievable snaps on tape of like quick hitting moves that you can see immediately playing in the NFL. But you're left with the question, why only 300 and 400 snaps if this guy is this good? You look at Jerzon Newton, the young man from Illinois who was taken in front of him in the second round. That guy's playing 700 snaps three straight seasons. Yeah. So you're trying to figure out, as a part of the incomplete profile, what about his time at Ohio State causes him to come off the field as often as he did? There could be some little injuries, knick-knack injuries, you never know. But I was curious from your point of view, because I know you respect Dane Brugger like I respect Dane. He said that Mike was off some boards. I found that to be kind of strange. Like, for this young man, under 21 years old, this talented, and I'm talking, I've been doing this for like 8 years now, like genuinely looking at NFL players like a day in and day out, watching tape. He has some jaw-dropping moves. Like, he will put guys in a blender up front in a way that looks, I said it on the pod the other day, Doug, he has some Chris Jones to him when he's right and he's moving for his size that well. So if you're to, you know, it's conjecture here, but is it a football maturity thing? Like, what's the vibe that he doesn't, because this is a 10-sack college player. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so like 400 snaps last year was more in line of what you want to see. But again, like Johnny Newton, such a, you know, 700-plus snaps. I just checked it real quick in the Power 5, now Power 4 teams. So those 69 teams last year, Mike Hall was 99th among defensive tackles and total snaps. So again, like, that's not way up there. Johnny Newton's playing 700-plus. But you got to remember, like, guys like Jordan Davis at Georgia, it was like a 350-snap guy. Now, that was a little bit, I think, stamina. I don't think it's stamina with Mike. I think it is maybe just not sure. And again, Ohio State does typically rotate its defensive tackles. Usually they want to have four. Sometimes they have six. And they'll all play around the same number of snaps. But like Tyleek Williams played 600-plus last year.
Right.
And that Mike left one game early, I think missed another game. But I don't think he's injury prone. I think he has battled some stuff at times. I am not aware of any issues. So again, and just on this issue of like the Browns taking Ohio State guys, man, my whole life at Cleveland.com was like, why don't the Browns take Ohio State guys? I think I checked it in a 15-year period. They took one guy. It was Brian Robiskie in 2009. And now they've taken, I think, seven in the past 5 years or something. And obviously DeJuan Jones and Luke Whipler last year, they signed Ronnie Hickman as a free agent. Like, now you add Mike Hall. It's like, hey, they discovered there's a team in Columbus two hours down the road. I think there's a DeJuan Jones comparison here again. I thought DeJuan blew the process. I thought DeJuan had a chance to be a late first round pick coming out of Ohio State. And I think he, whatever happened, his agency didn't get him in the right, like, he didn't test as well. I don't think he handled pro day. I think he blew it there. He's better than a fourth round pick. And I think everybody saw that immediately. It's like, how did he last that long? Because I think he kind of messed up. I don't think Mike did that, but I don't think we saw the full Mike Hall at Ohio State. I do think the package of traits is potentially more like a first rounder.
Right.
But I projected him to go in the third round because I thought maybe there'd be enough questions about why didn't he play more? Can he stop the run? That kind of thing. But even if he's not an every down defensive tackle, if he's playing on the money downs and blowing up pockets on the interior, like, that's worth a second round pick. So once again, I think this is another one where the Browns got an Ohio State guy at a spot where they're getting very good value.
That's great to hear, Doug. I mean, again, I hate draft time conjecture. It worked out with DeJuan where they got him, with some similar sentiments floating out there of GMs just, I mean, you know, I say it all the time, but they're GMs talking about Spencer Rattler's high school Netflix series as a reason to pass on guys. It's everywhere. It's all the time. And they're nervous people because they're trying to keep their jobs too. So it is just a piece of the puzzle with Mike. But I think that, you know, from everybody that I have tried to reach out to at Ohio State, obviously holding your opinion quite valuable, they loved him. They liked him. The people there liked him. And the Browns I'm hoping we're talking in 5 years. They sign him to another fat contract and he's dominating the NFL, because that would be a great story, man. So listen, Doug, we appreciate your time, man, and insights as always. And I say it every, we got to do something before the season. We do it every year, essentially. I steal some of your time, so I'm going to be knocking on your door again.
Good to see you, Jake.
All right, guys, special thanks to Doug for stopping by, doing that hit. Again, it's easier to find Ohio State guys because of connections, but we never take those for granted. So great information on Mike Hall. Like I said, we'll have Zach Zenner interview up hopefully tomorrow as a part of that podcast, and then we'll keep those rolling into the weekend and then maybe the middle of next week. And then maybe we could even get some stuff on the UDFA guys too that ultimately we think are going to matter. So keep your eyes out for that. Go to the OBR.com. Comprehensive reviews are happening. All the players, you can learn everything you want to learn about who the Browns selected in the draft and what they're going to do for this roster now and later, right? We also appreciate you guys hanging out there with us on the Everyday Grind and making yourself a subscriber too. As I always say, rate and review this podcast if you can. If you have not done so, helps us immensely. Browns fans can find us. Feel like a broken record, but more of those help. So I always try to remind those new listeners out there to do that if you can. So thanks again, guys, taking the time out of your day to listen to this show. Be well. Have a great Thursday. Go Browns.